Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to say good morning and welcome to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. I got to tell you something. We might have hung over a little bit on that first service, but it was not my fault. Oh, my goodness. It was the faith and it was the love of God that wanted to get something into people. I want to tell you something, that I'm excited about what I'm going to preach for you today. Because these kind of messages, I cannot just preach if we're soft cakes. Uh-oh. Did you hear that? If we're a bunch of soft cakes, if all we can handle is a little milk, I can't put no meat into it. But I got to tell you something. Something is going on in your spirits. You guys are pressing in. You guys have destinies. You guys are determining decisions. And you want to see the presence of God. And I tell you what, some of you are stirring with your faith. We have a testimony today of a strange happening. And it's going to be our testimony for offering. I hope that I get it done a little quicker than I did the last service. But there was a prophet called Prophet Tim Bagwell. And he said, Brother Philip, I don't know what you're doing over there. He said, but you got to get ready. He said, because when you get ready to move into this new church, strange things are going to happen over there. You know, we've already had strange things happen. There's a man that knows about strange things right there, because him and his family chose to tell HIV that they don't have a home in your house. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Woo! And we know you guys got a testimony. Amen. Of what God done and what he's done. I think this young man, when were you supposed to be dead? 20. Woo, woo, woo. Now, he's only 25 and a half today, praise God. Or at least he looks at it. But I tell you what, I think he's outrun the proclamation of death by a lot of years. Amen? Amen. And I'll never forget, he's so quiet that when he first called me, I was scared. Because there was an excitement in his voice. And I said, oh, no. Either he's excited about something really good or he's excited about something really bad. And he said, Pastor Philip, I need to call you directly because I just got my what?
Echocardiogram said that I was my heart was healed.
Whoa! Praise God! Do you see what I mean? I have to really read by the Holy Ghost when he's excited because he's supposed to be dead at 23. And years later, he called me and said, Pastor Philip, I just want you to know my echocardiogram says I'm healed. I got a normal heart now. Hallelujah. Praise the name. Yes. So sometimes our strange things aren't that we just jump and shout. It's just that we give glory to God. But I will tell you, you better get ready because strange things are a part of your destiny. If you're going to be in this church, strange things. Not bad strange things either, but things that make you say, wow. Things that only God can do. I want you to know that we love you. I love you. And most importantly, God himself loves you and determined that this is your time to shine. This is your time to run strong. This is your time to fly high. This is a time for you to get your expectations way up. Listen, I don't care what's going on in the world. And I love you. Hey, you're looking good back there, Mary and Randy. My goodness, hallelujah. Ooh, there's a testimony brewing back there. Hallelujah. But I want you to know something. Shalim, you're looking good now. Is that a pink shirt? Oh, no, no. It's kind of like what? Coral. We'll give you a little break. Hallelujah. But you're looking good too, brother. But I want you guys to be bold. I want you guys to be strong. I want you to live life. Hey, I might have to go back to that good food place over there. Wow. There was good food where I went the other week. But listen to this. Today we're going to worship God.
Yes.
Hey, praise God. Today we're going to stand strong. Today, I just feel it in the atmosphere. Today's a determined day. I just feel something shaking off of people. You know, sometimes we can go through so many hearts and brokenness that sometimes we have to see to believe. Doubting Thomas said, I'm only going to believe if I see. But the Lord said, oh, blessed is the generation that will have faith and believe before they see. And I tell you, I hear God telling me that many of you might be in that group that had been so hurt, so broken, rejected so much that you kind of let some of your faith guard down and you're just not believing like you were. But I'm telling you, I hear God telling me that you guys are about to get your expectations way up. You guys are about to start believing like you used to believe. And I tell you what, when Christians start dreaming again after they're recovered, sometimes their visions and dream increase so much that they really wreak havoc on the devil's kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord this morning. Amen? Amen.
Holy Spirit, take my hand now, lead me out in the living water. You're the wellspring, you're stirring your life for your sons and daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is arising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. If you can give the Lord his glory, you're calling me still, you're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, into your love. Eyes are open to the unseen, my faith is arising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. Lift your hand, give the Lord his glory.
Satisfied.
give a shout out of praise. Some of you need out of your belly to shout out of praise to God and release everything that is within you. Listen, he didn't tell us to shout for no reason. So if you need Jesus more, I'm going to count to three. And you give the biggest shout to God that you got. And I better hear you more shouting to your Savior, to your Heavenly Father, than I hear you at those ball games. Amen? One, two, three. Hallelujah!
Yes, I Yeah.
bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of
Spirit, if you just pray in whatever you feel in your heart, because I'm telling you, there's an atmosphere that freedom is happening right now. Things are breaking off of people. Things are lifting. Things are changing. Things are turning around for people right now. Come up here as they go back into the chorus of this. And Phil and I will pray for you. Pastor Phil and I will pray for you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Lord. Okay, whoo, hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, we look a little stranger today than we normally do, but it's not my fault. It is your faith, hallelujah. No, listen, it is your faith. I was praying and fasting this week, and 4 years ago, no, five, in the month of July, Tim Bagwell came, and he was preaching in Botkins. But while he was there, he grabbed me and Miss Regina, and he said, I don't know what's going on with you guys. He said, but there's something deep in you guys. He said, and I'm telling you that over there in Kenton, you guys are going to see strange things. Come on now, don't be afraid of the word. He said, I tell you what. He said, you're going to go through a few things. You got some seasons yet. He said, in fact, you're going to believe it sooner than... Whew! He said, you're going to believe it sooner. He said, but I promise you, you guys need to get ready because we're going to see strange things over there in Kenton, Ohio. Amen? Yeah, you guys think I'm a strange thing. Well, you're strange too, and you are meant to see the glory and the power of God. I tell you what, there's someone in here that he might not like it, but one of these days, he might just take off dancing.
Ooh.
You know, this morning, I think they were giving me a challenge to that song, Yes, I Will. And I said, hey, one of these days, I said, there's going to be someone to run and say, yes, I will, and run around this church. And you know what they did? They made the mistake of challenging me.
Said, do it then.
Yes, I will! Woo, woo, woo! Whoa, whoa, whoa! Ah! Whoa! Yeah. Hallelujah. We are going to have some freedom up in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Listen, we have paid too long for the bar fight destructions. We have paid too long as a depressed city for lost children. And we have prayed too long for the domestic violence. And we have been suffered too long for a lack of joy. Well, let me tell you something. We ain't going to be no stiff house up in here. Amen. We're not going to be no religious place up in here. You better get ready to see what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Randy, do you want to wait? You want to wait to give your testimony? All right, we'll give you a few more weeks.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not surprised that it was women that came up here, mostly women, because I was reading on Ruth and Naomi yesterday.
Mm.
And the Lord was showing me that there's been some women in here that said, no, I'm going to serve you, God.
Mm.
I'm going to go where you go, regardless of what the heartache, whatever it is. Now, the woman could have went back to her nation, her own, and ate, and went back to her mother and father, but she told her, no, I'm going where you're going. I'm going to, your people will be my people, and your God will be my God.
Oh.
Amen. And then after she did that, and she walked back in with her, even after she did that, everything that her mother-in-law told her, everything she told her to do, she was obedient to do everything. And blessing came on, and that Boaz married her. And Boaz was a rich man.
Amen.
In those days.
Come on, amen.
He was a man of
much
wealth.
Hallelujah.
And everything was restored unto those two. Because
reminds me of you, me and you, baby. Which you had to
you, Ruth or Naomi?
No, I'm Boaz.
Oh.
But the only thing is,
my faith you were when I married you.
You had to have a whole lot more faith.
Amen.
You had to have a whole lot more faith.
Man, I'm telling
what
you.
What a prophetic word.
I'm telling you, keep going. Keep
Come
going.
On, ladies. Keep And men, too.
Amen. Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going. Listen, it always looked darkest before it gets light. Amen. Keep going. Keep going. I'm just telling you, don't give up. Don't lay down. Yes. Keep fighting. Yes. Listen, we women were made for this.
Ah, come on. Yes.
We women were made for this. Guys were made of dirt. I can't help that. We were made of bone. We're strong.
Amen.
Listen, we were made for this.
Amen. Come
on. If you can push a baby out and all that pain, listen, this fight right now is nothing. Stand. Amen.
Ooh, amen. Whoa. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah.
Okay, I'm done.
Amen, amen, amen. She was made of bone. I'm just made of dirt. Hey, I always read those stories, and I will tell you that Miss Regina's faith is strong because she didn't get her Boaz prepackaged. No.
Neither.
No, Ruth had an advantage on her. because I tell you what, I was crying and wanting her to marry me, and I wanted to do a really good job, so I got my best out. You know what it was? Two milk crates. Two for me, two for her. And I went to the Dollar General, and they had 25-cent sale on these little hand towels. I picked a nice pink one, a nice blue one. She sat on one. I sat on the other. We had another crate for a little 13-inch, my little 13-inch black and white TV from college, hallelujah, in high school from my bedroom. And we ate macaroni, cheese, and hot dogs. I took good care of her, too, because I took that old macaroni and cheese, and I made it and put it on that plate, and I took her hot dog, and I sliced it real professional with her plastic knife, praise God. And I walked that over to her, and I gave it to her, and we just ate starry-eyed. Woo, hallelujah. But listen to this. We're going to do something here, because how many of you know that it's back to school time? It is back to school time. And how many of you know that our children are the most precious things in the world? Yes. So now listen, we're not going to do like a normal congregation because y'all are strange. Yes, you are. You look at me and think I'm strange, but I think you're strange because you stay here. Hallelujah. You get three services. One, two, three. You're back. You're as strange as me. Hallelujah. But listen to this. Here's what we're going to do. In honor of the children, they're going to go get them. But in honor of them, I wish I had thought of this earlier because I would have made you get in a circle. But I just want all the adults to stand up. They're going to bring the kids up. Jared and I are going to lay hands on them. And I just want you to stand and I want you to pray. I want you to be very reverencing because here's what I need you to know. As parents, you're not going to be able to be there every day. And we're going to teach on this in the weeks to come. But sometimes we leave our children to the devil because we leave our post. We'll let the cares of this life, we'll let hurts stop our prayers. And our children need your prayers every day. They need you protecting them in the realm of God. And I'm telling you, all this up and down stuff can shut up your mouth. And before you know it, your family's vulnerable, your wife's vulnerable, you're vulnerable. Before you know it, you're offended. Before you know it, you're thinking thoughts you thought were gone for 30 years. So I want us parents, and if you're not a parent today, be a, what is it called? Surrogate. Be a surrogate. But I want you, when we begin to pray, I just want you guys to stand up and kind of circle us as much as you can. If you want to come up here, come around them, stand behind them, but stand up and wrap your prayers around these children. Does that make sense? I want you to know these are powerhouse kids. Yes, they are. Yeah, they're powerhouses. I was downstairs and they were hugging me. And this little darling, what'd you tell me? Did you tell me about how you sang for Jesus? Or was, yeah, what'd you say?
Jesus.
Amen. Whoa. She said, Pastor, I've been singing for Jesus. I said, how do you do that? She said, Jesus. Listen, it's enough. Listen, these children are serious about this thing. So we're going to have some music. And first of all, Jared, as the children's pastor, he's going to do a mass prayer. He's going to bring protection. He's going to do different things, whatever's in his heart to do. And then him and I together, as a double portion of fathership, partnership, pastorship, and just believing God for you children, we're going to pray for you guys together after he prays for you.
All right, Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for each and every child, for every soul, God, for every heart. You have a plan. You have a purpose for every child, God, for this upcoming year, God. And as they go to school, God, as they endeavor into new seasons and new places, Lord, I pray that the blessing of God would overtake them. Favor of God would surround them as a shield, God, that you would bless them, keep them, let your face shine upon them, God, walk with them through every trial, tribulation, through every success, God, through every good day and every bad day, God, you would be with them. The hand of God would protect them, the anointing of God would be upon them to have wisdom and to excel in all their doings, God, and I thank you for it, and I ask it in Jesus' name, amen.
It's just a great blessing.
I bless Richie in the name of Jesus. Blessing over you, Lily, in the name of Jesus. Ash, and pray blessing in the name of Jesus over you. Lord Jesus, bless her in the name of Jesus. God, I pray blessing over Andrew in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for blessing on Cassie in the name of Jesus. Pray blessing on Savannah in the name of Jesus. And I pray blessing over Isaiah in the name of Jesus. Pray blessing over Xander, God, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray blessing over her in the name of Jesus. Blessing over her in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for blessing over him in the name of Jesus. God, I pray.
Birthday. Is it his birthday? No, he told me it was his birthday. I guess because you were telling me it was your mama's birthday, he was trying to take it too. You can't take a birthday. Well, I guess he can. He joined in. But it's actually Amber's birthday. The kids had to tell me it's mommy's birthday, Pastor. So God bless you.
I bless you in the name of Jesus. God, I bless you, Gabriel, in the name of Jesus. I bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray a blessing over you, Liz, in the name of Jesus. I pray a blessing over you in the name of Jesus. I pray a blessing over this young man in the name of Jesus, God. Blessing over you. Come here. Come here. Oh, you're all right. Come here, huh?
Okay. We'll do her.
Blessing over her in the name of Jesus. And blessing over her in the mighty name of Jesus. Over him in the name of Jesus. I pray a blessing over him in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless her in the
praise
name
God,
of Jesus.
Bless her. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You guys are so beautiful. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Well, we believe in these children, and we believe in where they're headed. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and try to do the offering first. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, one strange thing that happened here already left today. They were in the first service, and that would be Chad and Amanda Smith. And I married them on a Saturday, and they came in on Sunday morning. I said, Mr. Smith, what are you doing here? I said, I want to see you every Sunday, but not after you're married. He said, no, Pastor Phil, we planned it this way. He said, we purposely got married on Saturday so we could come to the house of God on our first day of our wedding to give God our tithe of our marriage from this day forward. I said, come on, brother. I said, I wish I was that kind of a man of God. I was so bold. I said, honey, you got 3 weeks. Let's get married. Then I cried the whole wedding day. But Chad Smith and Amanda had agreed together that they were going to wait to leave after service because they said, no. We planned it this way. We wanted to give our first tithe of our first day in marriage to God. And I said, well, I didn't expect to see you this week even. He said, no, Pastor. He said, we're gone. He said, we are taking our honeymoon. He said, but we just wanted to give our first day of our marriage to God. And I guess that's why they've had an anniversary every year. Amen. Marriage isn't always easy. But when you make room for God, he will make room for all he has to deal with between the two of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Ooh, baby, we've only been married a year and a half. We're still on our honeymoon. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it just feels like only a year and a half. But anyhow, we are going to have a strange story. It's not my fault. You guys use your faith on strange stuff. I mean, this next story, I'm sorry. I went to a game banquet this weekend. And I told him, I said, just because my skin's a little dark, don't try to steal my redneck heritage. Because I know who I am and I know where I grew up. I've caught probably more turtles than you. You ever catch a wild snapping turtle by your hand? Oh, just one? Well, see, I've caught more than you. Hallelujah. I just caught one about 4 weeks ago. Oh, boom. But anyhow, for this kind of sickness, I hate to say it, but in the country, you learned how to solve this kind of sickness back then at about 35 cents a shell, and today about $1.18 a shell. But I thank God that there's kinder people with more faith than me. And I'm going to have a man tell a strange story about him and his wife and how they used their faith and how their friends agreed with them. And then I want you to hear at the end of it what God is speaking to you. Come on up here, Mr. Roger. Boy, you're looking good. Of course, you know I speak by faith, so you know what that could mean.
You speak by a lot of faith.
Amen, amen.
Okay, I didn't think it was.
Go right ahead.
Oh, all right, well, this is about our dog, actually, Buckeye.
Buckeye?
Yeah, he's a little Jack Russell, yappy thing when he was real young. But anyhow, a little over 3 years ago, he came down with pancreatitis. And we didn't know what it was. We just thought he ate something and had a blockage. So we took him to the emergency room in Lima because it was on a Saturday evening or night. And they said that's what it was, just pancreatitis. Well, so we was praying for him, me and Karen. And in the service of my praying, the Lord had said, we'll have him for 3 more years. Now, I never told Karen this. I kept this quiet to myself. I said, all right, 3 more years. Well, here this summer, early, of course, pancreatitis is something that he's eating what he's not supposed to.
How does he do that?
We won't go into that side. But so then he had pancreatitis once before that, or after that. But this was his third time. We found out that he had a... his bladder had a growth in it. And in the meantime of that, he came down with his pancreatitis again. Well, this time we thought he was dead. We'd actually gave him up for dead because, I mean, he did not move for at least two days. He just lay around, didn't move at all. And he has a little nervous condition on his back end, too, and that didn't move.
Mm-hmm.
So we both thought he was dead. And
I remember you stopped me and said, Pastor, Buckeye's dying, or just pray that Karen and I can handle that.
And so we was praying, and I finally told Karen, I said, 3 years ago, the Lord told me we'd only have him for 3 years. Because I didn't tell her that. So she cried a little bit more. And then, I don't know, later on that day or the next day, she asked me, says, will God change his mind?
Woo! Woo!
I says, I don't know.
Peace.
Wow. And so we went, I think that was on a Tuesday morning, maybe she asked that, but, and we had Bible study Tuesday night. I was studying Jeremiah on that Tuesday night, studying where the Lord said that he was going to destroy Judea.
Yep.
And there was no way around it, but Jeremiah was praying to the Lord and asking if he changed his mind. And the Lord said if they would change their ways, he would change his mind.
Whoa, praise God.
So
come on, praise God. So maybe if your dog changes his eating.
So I looked at Karen, and I said, see, Lord will change his mind if we pray. So, I mean, people here in the church were praying for him.
Yep.
And he actually came back full strong. He's back to being a pup.
Yeah. Yeah, and in fact, Karen said, if he lives, I won't yell at him anymore.
Yeah, she said, if he lives, she won't yell at him anymore. Well, that didn't happen long. He's yelling at him again.
But he's up running.
Oh, he's up running.
He's pretty much outlived his lifespan, especially with that diagnosis.
Right.
And he's running with more energy than he has the last several years.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. So.
Yeah, he's more active than he has in the last few years, for certain.
Now, I got to tell you something. Sometimes you guys have bigger faith than I do, amen? Because I'm not sure I could have faith to pay for a dog. But here's what I love more than that. My whole focus is that when God sees a change of heart, when God sees us pursue him. Plus, I told Roger that I was so proud of the people that pray together because... if you know Karen, It would not be herself several years ago to even have faith that God could change his mind. Yeah. And what I'm telling you is that even if you've lost your hope, even if you're wondering if a loved one or a child is so deep in sin, even if you've lost your hope, even if you've had some dreams that have died once, I'm telling you, if you could be strange enough, if you could be strange enough to believe that if a loving dog, God can change his mind over a believer that's believing for a dog, how much more so would God change his mind to save the unsavable, to love the unlovable, and to shake us free from the impossible? Woo! Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, I got to mention one more strange event. Then we're going to be ready. Don't leave, Roger. You're going to pray over the offering. How many of you want him praying over my offering with that kind of strange faith? Amen? If that brother can multiply a dog's life, I'm telling you, I'm looking for my green to be multiplied. Amen? Hallelujah. But we have one more strange event. And I got to tell you that secretly I've been trying to find another recorded story of this. I got people that I used to work with that did statistics, and so far they're trying to run down medically another story like this. But we have a little baby girl that's how old now?
2.5.
And she was 6 months old, never had any treatments, and they said she had what?
She had HIV.
What? Wait a minute. HIV. 6 months, no treatment. And you and your husband's strange faith, mixed with God's help, made a little Libby come into a destiny that nobody thought she could ever have. Listen to me. I'm telling you, when she went back for her last report, I'm telling you, that's a story. And we got some other strange things. We'll get into those things here the next couple services, but God is going to do the miraculous. Roger, please pray and let these guys bring their offering up.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today to thank you for all the blessings you've given give us and in the future blessings to come. We just thank you for giving us the choice here. We can help make you change your mind. Well, not make, but believe in you that you will change things for us, and by changing your mind, and we want one way and should go the other, and we go the way that you want us to go, that helps us. We just take this offering that we give you today and help change other people's minds as we go on. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Bring your offering up to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Say amen. We might have a few people not here today because they know I'm teaching on a very exciting subject. Oh, this subject I'm teaching on, it will light your fire. I'm telling you, it will make you ecstatic and it will make you glad if you recognize this, that God's wisdom is above our wisdom. Amen. God's way is above our way. And I got to tell you something, too, that we're going to deviate a little bit from our sermon enough that we're going to move our subject one more week. So you thought it was over. I thought it was going to be over, too. But we're going to have to stretch. And this is your fault, too, because you're the church of the second mile. So you're getting an extra dose of something. But our subject matter that we're preaching about today is called the power and the necessity of fasting. I said the power and the necessity of fasting. Hallelujah, amen, Pastor. Great subject. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's try it one more time. The power and necessity of fasting. Oh, you guys are a deep church, I tell you. Listen to this. Here's what I want you to know. That we're going to dig into these things and we're going to really be talking on some things that Christians need even though they may not know they need it. First of all, you should know you need fasting because now that you're saved, you realize that fasting is not man's idea, it's God's. And anything that is God's idea that you don't like, it's probably going to be real good for your flesh. And why do we need fasting? Because just like if we were getting ready in the natural for a big sporting event or to run a race or something, we would be going to the deepest place we could go in that race running. We'd be practicing, even me, when we used to practice to run a mile, we'd run three. During the week, if you were going to run a mile that was 3 miles long, you'd practice up till 4, 5, or 6 miles to run that 3-mile race. So what I want you to know is that in the natural, we understand eating right. In the natural, we understand sleeping right. In the natural, we understand drinking enough water and doing all this prep to live life at the most extreme, healthiest physical way we can. But in the supernatural, we got lazy Christians. Love you. I do. So here's what I want you to know. Why is this here? Because we are spirit, and if we are properly positioned, the Lord says that we do not have the spirit of fear, but the spirit of what? Power! Power! Love and a sound mind. So once we get saved, our flesh was in charge before we were saved. Once the Lord comes and resides in us, it don't mean that you ain't going to have flesh. You're going to have to tuck that flesh under. But the most powerful part of you should be spirit. So if our spirit is fed properly, if that inward man is properly taken care of with the Word of God, reading it, studying it, being obedient to it, letting the Word grow in you, and then add prayer, of course, but the dimension of power that can take both of these subjects to a whole new arena is fasting. Oh, now we're going to get into this subject more next week, fasting and prayer, because the Lord said to his disciples, how come we couldn't do anything with this one? He said, boy, that was a strong devil. He required prayer and fasting. Well, that's only one scripture. Oh, really? Well, go to Acts chapter 19, 15. You'll see that they said to the devil, whipped the sons of Sceva and made them run out of the house naked. But right before he whipped them, he says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But who are you? Who are you? Now, Brother Carol, the Lord never said none of you else are qualified, did he? He never said, oh, that's only for me and one of my disciples and apostles. No, no, no. Even the devil. Now, it's one thing for God to say. It's one thing for the Lord to say that you can have power that the gates of hell cannot withstand against. It's one thing for the Lord to look at you and say, come on, faithless generation. If you just believe in who I am, who God is, and who you are, you would be able to handle this. It's one thing for Jesus to say it. But when the devil is compelled to tell the truth, which he didn't even know he was doing, he revealed his cards because he said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But who are you? See, he let us into the window that says this kind of authority does not just belong to Jesus because he was the Son of God. In fact, Jesus prayed a price so that authority could come upon men and women, and the devil exposed himself. Because if he had just said, Jesus, I know, then every theologian in the world would have said, you don't have the power to cast out some devils. But because he said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, he would refute our story, right? Because Paul, you know, it'd be one thing if a man was like Moses, out thugging and fighting because he was fighting other thugs. But Paul said, I'm the chief of all sinners. I'm the lowest. I'm the dirtiest because I didn't just hurt bad people. I mean, we don't like it. But if a gang member shoots a gang member, we're like, ugh, that's going to happen. But if a Saul comes into a church and shoots people up, it's kind of like the most grievous kind of sin you could have. And this devil took Jesus, and right behind him, Paul. Have any of you ever murdered a Christian? That's what I want to know. Okay, not only have you not murdered a Christian, but hopefully you ain't murdered anybody, amen? But if Moses in the Old Covenant could be forgiven for murder, you would think if somebody was not able to be forgiven, it would be the very man, Saul, that stood up against Jesus, fought against him, killed not just Christians, but was a part of Stephen and some of the greatest men of God. He sat right there, not only saw them die and helped throw rocks, but then girded himself up, went to the king and said, you know, I love killing these Christians. He didn't feel bad about Stephen's death or any of them's death. He said, oh, give me more power. I wish he was looking for the Lord on the road to Damascus, but that stinking Saul dog, he's been changed. He won't come and kill me, so I can say that now. But that old Saul was a dog at that time. And he didn't feel one ounce sorry for anybody he killed or hurt. He stirred himself up and said, King, give me more authority so I can kill more of these Christians. And yet he's one who gets mentioned in the scripture by Jesus, by the devil. An evil spirit. It's one thing if the Lord, if God opens up the heavenlies and says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. We can understand that because we say, oh, Jesus is pleasing his father. But when the devil and the thug and the man around the corner, the man who's known for trying to be the baddest dude in the neighborhood, when he stands up and says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, whew, if they were messing with me right now, I'd have to get out and I'd run like a little scaredy cat. But sons of Sceva, you don't even know Jesus. Because you're sitting here not casting me out in the Lord's name under your own authority. You're sitting here saying that Jesus, that Paul knows, help me now. Why don't you get your name next to Paul and the devils in your life say, Jesus I know, Paul I know, and Philip, I know, in the name of Jesus, go ahead and hit the street, Bubba. Yeah. Christians are not digging deep enough to possess what belongs to them. Huh. Should I finish scolding us before I pump you up so we can get the scolding out of the way? Okay, all right. You know, too many people want to be in the kingdom of God, like we are about the Ohio State Buckeye football team. I said too many Christians want to be in the kingdom of God just like we are in the kingdom of the Ohio State Buckeye football fans. Because we act like we're playing the game. I mean, it's a TV, and you're yelling at the officials. Come on, no way, that's a wrong call. Can you believe it? I got a friend of mine. We're watching the Buckeyes, and I have to give him a hand. But he'll go. He'll just rub his hand and get all excited about the Buckeyes playing because he only has one. He just has a nub over here, so he can't really clap. But he won't mind me saying that. I used to tease him when we first met. I'd say, hey, Matt, can I give you a hand? But anyhow, we have a close relationship. Stop it. But listen to this. Here's what's so amazing. We will yell at the football teams. We will yell at the game. I got to tell you one time, I lost my privileges to watch football for a whole year by God. Because they weren't even my team. Of course, my team had been sold and they were playing bad. That's the Browns. They weren't winning any games at all. And there was a little young man at the Colts. What was his name? Peyton Manning. And he was getting down. So in my sorrow of what I hoped my Browns would be like once in a while, I'd watch him throw those passes all over, all the time crying for my Browns. And this one day, the Lord said to me, Philip, I need you to come pray. And right when he said that, I said, oh, Lord, as soon as Peyton throws the touchdown pass, and he threw a 55-yarder, it was close to the corner, perfect spiral. You know that man can put some footballs where nobody else can. Boom, bam! And they kept their winning streak going. And I said, okay, God, I'm coming to pray. Boom! It's like I hit a brick wall. And the room was empty. I went into my prayer room that I had been praying in the Holy Ghost, fasting in. I went in there, and it was so empty. I'm telling you, you couldn't have got a piece of gnat off the floor in there. And I said, God, I'm ready to pray. And he said, Philip, I had something critical. The man's life would have been lost. I had to move that burden to someone else. Get in this thing now. Get serious about your life. He said, I had to move that burden to someone else because you weren't available. And I said, God, but I'll pray now. I tried to stay in that room. I tried to pray. Nothing. So I came out of that room, and I said, I'm done watching football, both professional football and college football, until the Lord gives me that right back, because I don't want my life to ever block my God from ever having that experience. So I went the whole year when the Buckeyes were rocking and rolling, winning, and they went in to play Michigan, and they were going to play Michigan when they were 10-10 tie. You remember that? Look it up. It was 2006. That's how well I remember. They had a 10-10 tie. And all of a sudden, I hadn't watched a Buckeye game all year. All of a sudden, I got a call from a vendor that says, hey, you're on the list to take an executive ride up to the football game and watch this. And I came to Regina and I said, honey, I don't know if I can go. Pray about this. And I said, honey, do you want to go? Because usually Regina's my confirmation. She said, no, Philip, you took me to one of those games. It's too crowded. I ain't going. So I went, oh, no, this must be sin. I'm sorry. And I went back into repentance. And all of a sudden God said, you can go. And I said, how can I go when you've banned me from watching football all year long? He said, because you've given my heart back. You will never, ever again not be able to be called out of a football game. And I went up there, and it was a great game. Oh, you can go back and look at that. When it was back and forth, Ted Ginn Jr., oh, my gosh, George, oh, it was just powerful. Oh, I saw it. But I got to tell you, I enjoyed the game, but I said, God, I see what you mean. I'm not even paying attention to the game. I'm seeing all these broken souls. I'm seeing people that may not make it home because they're so drunk they can't see, cussing, fussing, fighting. I saw one little boy. Well, he wasn't a little boy, but he was dumb wearing a Michigan shirt on the Buckeye side. I'm going to cover our Buckeye fan nakedness and not tell you what happened to that dude. But I learned myself, I would never wear an up north shirt over by a cage, by a fence close to the Buckeye fans. I'm just telling you, it's not safe. I know. But listen to me, I'm only telling you that because I want to drive you to the idea of if we're not really positioned to run our race with our faith and we're just halfway in and we're just putting our foot in, we're like an Ohio State Buckeye fan, celebrating with all those guys that are going to go to the football and play professional football and acting as though, and I don't care that you wear your shirt or not, but don't act like you're a Buckeye football player when you're really just a fan. Say amen. And let's not act like we're Christians when we're really just in this thing to see what we can get. See, only the world watches the Buckeyes as a fan and just sits back and they're satisfied with that. No, no, no. In the body of Christ, you're not going to sit in the church and have me or anybody else under review and think you're getting entertainment and be satisfied. If you're really going to be after this thing from God, you are going to want to fast, pray. You're going to want to be on a regimen that you develop and that you stand in that gives God glory. You understand you're going to want to be active in this thing. You're going to want to be pressing into this thing. You're not going to want to be just walking around doing half anything. Now, I'm going to read something to you, and I'm going to preach this in the weeks to come, but I'm going to give you just a little insight right now. But, you know, in the power of fasting, before I go further, I want you to understand something, that, you know, the foolish things of God are wisdom. And they confound men that think they're wise. Amen? So I got a little foolish thing for you, because from this day forward, after we finish this service, this series on fasting, now in the natural, you guys might look like you guys think that, oh, if I fast, I'm going to lose weight. But I'm going to tell you something, that now that we're talking about fasting, you are going to get the opportunity to be the fattest you've ever been in your life. Did you hear what I said? You can preach strange things in Kenton, brother. Because we're preaching on fasting and prayer, and that means pressing in, eating no food. I already told you what a fast is. It means eating no food and eating water. But it all, you know what? Before I get to being fat, can you wait a second? I need to tell you something. Fasting, we've already talked about. It is both something that a man of God like myself, I could ask the congregation to fast on something. You know, a leader can ask. The president could ask. We could go like we did in the book of Jehoshaphat. He said, oh, I need everybody to fast. Esther said, I need everybody to fast. The priest would set times for fasting. So I can set times for fasting. So for us, one thing we've said is that throughout this year, from now to the end of the year, every Thursday, I would like for you to fast for revival, for souls to be saved, and I'd like for you to fast for those purposes. I forgot to. Did I let you come up and talk about the outreach? Right after service, we're going to talk about the outreach. We had a great one, man. We did our first new revised outreach thing, and it was powerful. But listen to this. We can set a fast. Now, we set this fast, Pastor Dosig and I. The next thing we knew, without even really saying anything, we had other pastors from other cities and other Indiana, North Carolina. We just had pastors throughout the whole region of relationships set a fast for Thursday. All for the same thing. Come on now. That should get you excited, not just leave you sitting there. So I want you to know something. The most important fast that should be set by who? Huh? Oh, my goodness. God always sets fast, right? But the most important fast should be set between God and who? Oh, come on. Could you say that just a little louder? The most important fast should be set between God and?
Myself.
And myself, my goodness. Now, I need a little help here. The most important fast should be set by God and? I said it should be set by God and?
Myself.
Oh, you said it now. Here's what's so powerful. Even for God to speak to you about deeper spiritual things, you have to grow up big enough where you'll use your faith to receive them. See, there's lots of Christians that love God, but we got a whole lot of Christians that aren't filled with the Holy Ghost in the body of Christ. It's available to them. But unless they use their faith to reach and even give God the opportunity to really give it to them, they're going to go to heaven rejoicing and being saved. But they're going to go to heaven without having the fullness of power and possibly the fullness of revelation and possibly the fullness of the ability to defeat the devil as God would give us. And it's just like fasting. You have to first say to God, teach me. I want this. And I also want you to know something. God is a great, kind God. So when you start trying to fast, it ain't going to work right. You're not going to be successful in the beginning. It's just you're going to have issues. I got to tell you something. I'll be transparent and honest. I first started fasting, and so I would cook something that Philip and Regina could eat, and I could get something out of it too. So when I first started fasting, the Lord said, yep, because you're working and you're very active and all this, even when you're fasting, you can eat some chicken broth. You can eat some tomato soup if you would water it down a little bit and heat it up. You can get that flavor in you, but you can't eat solid foods. I got to be honest with you. I make some mean homemade chicken noodle soup. And I would cut them vegetables up. I'd cut that chicken up, and I'd be broiling that chicken, and I'd get ready to put everything in there. Woo! I'd make a beautiful, nice cup of soup or noodle soup for Philip and Regina, and I'd even serve it to them. And then I'd go pour myself some broth. But I'm just going to be honest with you. I did not always keep the spoon or the strainer right at the edge and keep just broth. I'd allow a little drop of chicken. Whoop! I'd allow a little drop of carrots. Whoop! Maybe even a piece of celery. Whoop! And I would pretend like it was an accident, but I sure didn't put that cup down until I went like this. I'm just being real. I'd never fasted before, and I'm cooking, and it's tempting, and I broke down a little bit. But you know what, Sister Deanna? God never said to me, Philip, you little devil. You should have fasted without, you little tempted thing. No, he was sitting up there in heaven enjoying the fact that this boy used to be cussing, fussing, fighting people, and we didn't know what bed he was going to end up in. And look at him now. He's cleaned up. He's committed to his wife. He's living for me. He's doing his best, and he's trying to fast. My goodness, should I kick him in the teeth, or should I go ahead and celebrate? I tell you what do you do with your grandchildren when they don't tie their shoe right, or when they're just learning to walk, and they fall down, and you get them out of the Pampers, and they poop once or twice? What do? You go ahead, and you say, oh, it's okay, baby. Whoo! Smells a whole lot stronger at 2.5 than at 3 weeks. But we're going to just put a new diaper on you, and we're going to put some new training pants on you, and you're going to go again. God can handle the beginning of your fast. There are some liberties that God gave me in the beginning of my fast when I was working and doing stuff. And when you have medications and stuff, God will give you liberties. He'll let you eat. Now, don't sit down and say, I got to take my diabetes medicine, so make me a 12-course meal at 1 o'clock. Because I'm hungry from breakfast that I didn't have, and I'm going to eat this 12-course meal, and it's going to cause me to sleep till tomorrow, and I'm done with my fast. Don't do that. But pray and let God give you what you need for diabetes. Let God give you. If you're working, let God give you what you need. Maybe you need to drink a little Powerade or a little Gatorade or something like that to give you electrolytes. Let God give you what's needed, and maybe God will witness to you and say, hey, you're fasting, and brother, you got bad breath, so I'm going to let you eat a little certs, a little piece of candy, and you think it's just because I'm giving you a little something you can do during your fast, but also I'm saving everybody because you be trying to witness to them. They're going to be knocked out, and you're going to think it's the Holy Ghost. It ain't nothing but your bad breath. If you feel like your breath is bad and you're going into a meeting and you're trying to be a business professional, shoot some whatever that is. Do them a little mouthwash or put a cert in there. God ain't going to be mad at you. God is going to help you grow your faith, and God is going to protect the youth until you're standing like a strong warrior in the presence of the King. Amen? Now, that's all I'm going to be able to give you on fasting today. And next week, we're going to finish fasting, and we're also going to have questioning and answering session because God wanted me to deal with what it means to be fat and what it means to take on this new responsibility of being strong people of meat and not just milk. And so, first of all, how can I fast and be fat. Because fasting will turn your flesh down. And fasting will turn your spirit up so much that all of a sudden fasting will cause you to be more faithful, more accountable, and more teachable. Fasting will help you be more faithful, more accountable, and more teachable. Say it with me. Fasting will help me be more faithful, more accountable, and more teachable. Say, Lord, I don't want to necessarily be physically fat, but I do want to be fat all up in the spirit. Amen. I want to be as fat as I can get when it comes to being faithful, accountable, and teachable. Amen. Now, I said that to say this because I want to teach you a little something, and it's going to come out of a story that I'm really going to preach in the days to come. That's a book I'm praying about, reading about to see if I'm going to introduce. So I've been carrying it for a couple weeks. I don't preach to you what I get from the Lord every week. I might carry something in my spirit for 2-3 years. Look, I got a book here that I'm just thinking about letting you guys have. So I'm carrying it in my little crazy bag over there. I carry lots of things and pray about them and do them and let them be in my heart before I ever hear God give me the green light. See, I don't like to blow anything up. But I wish I could blow up sermon.com on Google. Don't you want people to learn sermons? No, I want them to learn sermons. But I just don't want preachers around America sitting around, not fasting, not praying, not giving up their Saturdays, not seeking God, hanging out, entertaining themselves, having a kicky-go-lucky time. And then all of a sudden, at the last minute, some of them drunk from stinking hangovers, some of them out from adulterous affairs, waking up on a Sunday morning at 8:30, you know, I got service at 10. What's out there on Google.com? Listen, I want you to know, books, teachings, what you see on Facebook, it's all good, but you got to understand at some point, that is second heaven revelation. See, I got to tell you something. I get concerned when I see Christians reposting something, and they repost it so fast that they didn't read down below it, and there's cussing streams. They'll bring a political statement in that sounds Christian, and they'll just pull it over, flipping through, pull it over, and then someone will get a call and say, hey, brother, do you know what's up on your screen? And all of a sudden we say, uh-oh, I better delete that. If you had been actually praying, I'll tell you what, if you want to post something on Facebook, instead of regurgitating and tapping on someone's post and liking stuff that you don't even know someone's lifestyle is. You know, recently I saw some people celebrating and liking a young couple, and I celebrate them too. But the problem is, you may be putting your approval on someone's lifestyle that isn't right, or you might be putting your approval on somebody running from the process of God because they don't want to stay put and be accountable. Don't just post. Make sure you pray. Sometimes Christians are just like, oh, yeah, like, oh, praise God, I hope you bless, blah, 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 like, oh, bless, oh, I hope you just have great gifts going on in your life. But we've not prayed and said, Lord, should I touch that? See, I'm going to be real with you. As a pastor, I don't think it's great that I get to blow off my mouth on a Sunday morning. It's the least favorite thing I like to do as a pastor. What? You're called to preach. Yes, that's why I spend so much time fasting and praying before I release it. Because let me tell you something, I refuse to release something in your life that when I get to heaven, the Lord says, whoa, 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 there's blood on your hands. It is not, listen, once I'm ready to go and once I've heard God, yes, I step into the fullness of my call. But if you knew me outside of the pulpit, or if you knew me outside of the Holy Ghost, see, some people say, well, I know you outside of the pulpit, and you can still be pretty rough. Yeah, because if you come up to me trying to lie to me, and I'm looking at you and I'm going off, it's because I know something's off. And I probably already know what's going on. I probably know what you said. I probably know how you talk behind my back. I probably know what addictions you still have. I probably know all of that. And I probably know that you're mad because I won't put my approval on your relationship because it ain't right. And my awareness is up and my eyes are popping out of my head and my tone's a little hectic because I'm trying to get you to be honest and own up to something so we can come to a place of transparency so we can love each other and grow in God. He's just mean. No, I'm just mad at the devil. And if the devil gets you bold enough to meet in my office or come in the church with a bunch of lies going on and you expect me to put my stamp of approval on it, you got another thing coming. And if I did that to you, then you should leave my church because I didn't love you. But if you're offended, hurt, broken, or trying to hide something and I get after you, then understand why I'm getting after you. I love you. Now listen, if you're looking for me to love you in a fleshy way that's always going to toot your horn at a dinner table and all that kind of stuff, which I will do. I love to eat. Listen, Sister Deanna, do I love to eat? Huh? You don't just assume so, girl. You know that when you... I know. But you know when we make meals, I smile, eat, and say, praise God. But I'm also telling you, that if I think there's something wrong or motive behind that meal, I won't touch it. I won't meet with you and eat happy with you when I can see all kinds of stuff beyond what you think I can see. These are not natural eyes. That's why they're so buggy. Natural eyes can't hold the Holy Ghost. But my big buggy eyes can go right through your smile, whoop, into your soul. And I might say, hey, Ben, I love you, but can I pray for you after church? See, I've seen something beyond the natural. And I believe every one of us are going to be people that can see something beyond the natural. Listen, I wouldn't preach this to you if I didn't know that one day you're going to be sitting at the hospital. You're going to be sitting at Helping Hands. I got to tell you something. There's one of my favorite Christian bookstores I go into because they're doing business at a Christian bookstore. You know their boss allows them to stop, come around the corner, and pray with people right in front of the counter. People come in, and you know they're allowed to stop. Oh, just the other day we prayed for a man that possibly has a brain aneurysm. His name is Cecil. They're waiting for me to come down next week, and we're going to discuss if Cecil got his healing, which I know he did as soon as we prayed. But I want you to know something. That company allows them to stop and take down Cecil's name and write a prayer request. And the boss won't even come out and say, what are you doing? And I'm just telling you that God is going to start giving you guys supernatural, strange opportunities if you would go where God really wants you to go. Listen, this church might not be right for everybody, but it's going to be right for the broken. It's going to be right for the drug addicted. It's going to be right for all of us who, once we get fixed, get promoted and get blessed and do all that kind of stuff. We want a church where the Lord could say, my Levitical priest walked by that man in the ditch. He's a worshiper and he walked by. The Levitical priest walked by. But the Samaritan, the one who's been regenerated, the one who had to be adopted in, the one who didn't have birthright but got adopted in, that good Samaritan went over and said, brother, I know what it's like to be where you're at. I'm going to pick you up and carry you on my own back. Whew. So fasting gets finished next week. Uh-oh. Can you give me about 10 minutes? We're over time. I got to tell you, we usually quit by now. And I know lots of you, see, this is, I'm not being mean here, but lots of Christians get into routines where as soon as they get so long, they're more interested in the sandwich than the Word of God. I don't see that about you, so can I have about 10 more minutes here, and I'll try to finish up. Fasting next week. We're going to learn how to be more fat than ever. Amen. Look, you see this right here? I'm going to put that down for a minute. Can you put up Isaiah? Oh, no, 1 Kings. Or is it 2 Kings? 1 Kings 18, 41 through 46. Now, this is the story of the sound of the abundance of rain. Amen? There's a time of famine, and the prophet was called, and he laid down, and he began to pray, and he got a word from God. And in that word from God, he started seeing rain coming, right? It was a dry season. The nation was struggling. Things were going bad, and it was a dry season. And he started saying, King, you better get headed down the hill in your chariot. Now think about that and think about this. You see this right here? I've been carrying this around for a couple weeks. No, for a week or a week and a half now. At least a week I've been carrying it. Part of it. Part of it I've been carrying for at least 2 weeks. Part of it I've only been carrying a week. Underneath, at the bottom, is about 70, well, I don't know how many, I didn't count them all, but there's a bunch of prayer requests from all the prisoners I preached to in the Marion prison about a week ago. Remember when I left Saturday, Sunday service early? Boy, we had a blowout. But these are the prisoners' prayer requests. Now, do you see what that is in the middle? That is my passport. But my passport represents this church and every nation around the world and the kingdom of priests and the body of Christ and the church. And I've been carrying around like this. Now, do you know what this is on top? You know what this is on top? Nope. These are cards that we're going to give to the police staff in our town that they get to carry and give them discounts and discounts. They're sold by the football team, by the way. But we're going to give them discounts so that every time a policeman's traveling, he knows in his heart or in his wife's heart that we have sewed for them, prayed for them. And I've been carrying this for a couple weeks. What is the importance of this? See, I can't give this to weak people. Do you understand that if we... Do you know that just last year, 2017, there were 70,000 drug overdoses? Do you know that in 2018, there were 69,000 drug overdoses? That created death. So that is 140,000 people dead just from that. Abortions in 2016, there was 892,000. Woo, almost a million. In 2017, 879,000 abortions. And next week, I'm going to add to that the number of suicides. See, we got TV all whacked up because somebody got killed with a gun. And I don't like it. I don't like it. But you got all these much deeper things going on. And I tell you what, if I hear mental sickness one more time, I'm just going to go ballistic, because I want you to know we don't have a social problem. We have a spiritual problem. We don't have a mental sickness problem. We have a spiritual lack of God's authority where it belongs in our nation. And I'm here to tell you that at least in this house and in this city of God, we're going to take it back. Now, what is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that those who are in jail and those who have been criminals, if we would be willing to go into the jail and control that which looks like it's beneath us, those people will be saved. And when they come out and are released, they will actually be who they were supposed to be before they ever ended up in prison. And if we as the church would be the foundation between darkness and authority. See, I tell you right now, you're looking for a president to redeem this nation. It is not going to happen, no matter how strong he is. He's going to do a good job. And because people are praying more than they've ever prayed, you know, people are probably wondering, how does he do it? There's probably more prayer being made in the last 10 to 12 years than there's ever been. But let me tell you something. I'm doing this for you as an example. I just went to Marion and prayed for all the prisoners there, because if we can get them saved, a lot of them will return to this city, and hopefully they will be who they were supposed to be before they ever went to prison. And this, if we pray for our police department and keep the church between the police and the people, guess what? They're going to be filled with so much power, ability, love, and grace, and mercy. And when they got to throw down, I pray it's as accurate as it needs to be. if they release something and it needs to go through, I know that's strong, but we'll get in that later. But listen to me. This is representative of the problem in the whole world. It used to be normal that our children were in church. It used to be normal for histories upon years and years that all of this stuff was carried. And this is what I don't understand. We will get on Facebook and post a bunch of nastiness. We'll do this. We'll go down and protest. But my problem is that the Bible says that the church, if they would just pray and fast and lift up people, then we would live a good and peaceful life on this earth. See, what am I talking about? In the Bible, we get example after example of where when the famine came and the nation got in trouble, they would go to the prophet. Even the king would go to the prophet. And then we get a story where the king hears what the prophet has to say, and he gets intervention from God, and he says, "Oh, king," he said, "you need to get in your chariot, and you need to get down the hill and start before me." King, get in the chariot and start down the hill. You need to get an advantage on me because I'm not bringing you an answer from the natural realm. I've went up to the kingdom of God and I've heard a word that is going to stop drought, and you need to go ahead and run on the strength you can. I tell you what, the man-made way back in those days was chariots and everything, and I love what mankind can do. But I want you to know, when that king was in his chariot and all his riches on his own strength, he could do nothing. But as soon as he went to where he should have, which was going back to the church, and as soon as the church reached towards heaven, then the king in his chariot was only safe because the prophet came by the Spirit of God and got out in front of his chariot and led him into the city. Woo! I tell you what, if we want our schools safe in this area, we're going to have to fast and pray. If we want our children safe, we're going to have to fast and pray. If we want the prisoners to come out of there the way they're supposed to, I'm going to keep going into the Marion prison, because I believe when those people come out, they're going to be in society, the husbands, the fathers, the brothers, and the men of God they're supposed to be. And I want you to know something, church, it's time. Don't get me wrong. Pray and go to the ballot box. Vote who you believe in needs voted in. Live right, obey the laws. But beyond that, get off a hate book. Get off political righteousness book. And get yourself, between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven. And we'll defeat the devil. And God will bring his kingdom. And his kingdom will come and be released all upon this earth as it is in heaven. Come on. It's time for us to return to who we are. It's time for us to return to who we are. It's time for us to return to who we are. Your children don't need you ranting and raving at the school as much as they need you praying and giving them. Oh, my goodness. You guys got away from me a little bit because I just told the story about how all these Christians today, I'm just going to give my children's warnings. I'm not going to whip them. And I just believe God. What you going to do? Rip the word out that God written? He says pray in the Holy Ghost. Love your children. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Fast for them. But he also says, spare the rod, spoil the child. You can fast and pray all you want to. At some time, the gluteus maximus has got to be touched. Be like my father. I remember when I came home, third grade, our teacher had one of those paddles with the OSU insignia on it. And she used it and beat my tail. And I thought she was so wrong. I went home and I said, Daddy, that teacher gave me 3 swats. He said, she did, boy? And I said, yeah. I said, Daddy, are you upset? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I'm very upset. I said, you are. Are we going to go talk to the teacher? He said, no, I'm upset and disappointed with myself. I said, why, Daddy? He said, because obviously if I had brought you up with a little more discipline and if I whipped your tail a few more times, that teacher wouldn't have to waste her time. Bop, 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 bop. Now listen, I know that it's such a sensitive subject, corporal punishment is today. But I got to tell you something. I had 6 brothers and sisters. And my brothers and sisters could get down physically, fighting and doing all that stuff. But none of us went to jail. Because when I was out with other kids that was taking drugs and doing that stuff, I had both my mama's prayers and my mom and dad's remembrance of correction that caused me to say, guys, you do this, I'm out. God, ooh. See, I want you to know, don't think that Dr. Spock, Dr. Jock, whatever their names are, Dr. Phil and Spiel, unless you're talking to this Dr. Phil, because lots of gas stations call me Dr. Phil. But I want you to know something. Don't listen to Dr. Spock when you could listen to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm telling you that. I don't know, I might have to suspend our teaching on fasting for another week. Because I already went long, and I didn't even get to the other scripture that I'm really going to preach strong on. And that's out of Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in your day of adversity, don't look to God. Don't look to the devil. Look to yourself and ask God to help you turn it around. Amen? We're going to step into that next week. Father, I just declare your glory upon your people, Father. Lord, I just declare your greatness upon your people. Lord, I just declare your blessing upon them. Father, release right now the working of miracles to heal, to set free, Father. Lord, I pray right now that you're stirring people to go beyond themselves, Father. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would just take people to where they need to be in you, God. Lord, we declare your glory. We declare your blessing. Father, I speak to them in the name of Jesus, and I declare them to be whole. Father, let this word not be a condemning word, but an encouraging word. Father, the word should come straight forward, Father. The word should be filled with challenge, God. And I could not preach this word if your people hadn't hungered and thirst and pulled upon you for deeper things. Amen. Now, Lord, I thank you and we love you. We'll be here to pray for anybody that needs prayer. But I know I've already held you over and some of your stomachs are growling. Hallelujah. So if you need to run out and get the Big Mac, next time eat before church so that you're not hungry. Because next week we're going to go deeper into fasting. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap. Oh, wait.